It's time for Rebel Extra. This is your team, Las Vegas, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 364-1100. That's 364-1100. Now, live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Bernie Fratto and John Von Tobel.
Well, prior to tonight, in their last eight meetings versus San Diego State, the Rebels were 0-8. In their last 21 meetings, the Rebels were 4-17. So it does beg the question, is this still a rivalry? Well, the dictionary defines a rivalry as when two compete to dispute another's preeminence or superiority for an honor only one can possess. But in fairness, by any definition, this rivalry has lost a lot of luster as San Diego State earned their ninth straight win against the Scarlet and Gray, and tonight's game showed. Well, it should really sting, as this was what I would call the epitome of lost opportunity. You want to know why this game will stick out in my mind? Fans were leaving with 4 minutes to go in the game. When's the last time you saw fans leaving early in a game against San Diego State? In the end, for the record, the San Diego State Aztecs showed, well, in spite of their pedestrian record, their defense prevailed as they held the Rebels to a mere 20 points in the second half. Closing out UNLV tonight at the Thomas and Mack by a final score of 64-51. UNLV falls to 2-4 in Mountain West Conference play and 9-10 overall on the season. Welcome back, folks, to another edition of Rebel Extra, the postgame show devoted to you, the fans and supporters of UNLV running Rebel basketball. Rebel Extra is brought to you by our proud sponsors, Angel Park, Legacy, and Durango Hills, OV Sports' most complete golf course experiences in Las Vegas, Diamondback Land Surveying, from brick walls to the Taj Mahal, Diamondback Land Surveying are your land surveying experts. 8-Ball Bail Bonds, if you had more fun at the game than the law allows, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds to get you out of jail. Pizza My Dear, with the Smoke and Lunch Deal, a 12-inch pizza for only $5 with two locations to serve you, go to pizzamydear.com. We'll be coming to you after every game this season, folks. We want to hear from you at 364-1100. Give us a call, be part of the action, or text us 69187. Please preface your text with ESPN. Before I go any further, let me introduce my broadcast team. To my left, as always, turning all the dials, keeping us on the air and glued together, is producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado. He'll also be taking all of your calls at 364-1100. And to my right, I'm joined by the man of many talents. Perhaps later in the show, he can sing the big hit by DNC, Cake by the Ocean, in addition to his daily duties on Cofield & Company. That would be JVT, John Von Tobel. John, I'm going to let you kick things off tonight. I've got a lot to say, and I'm afraid I'm going to fall over. So let's get you started.
No, I agree with you with the missed opportunity. I think when you play San Diego State in the state that they're in right now, they're not the best that they've been. When it's a close game, a three-point deficit at the half, and the Rebels really wore down in the second half, and the offense obviously just completely fell off the ledge. It's a missed opportunity, especially when you get them at home in a close matchup where you probably could have stole one.
Especially when you consider the effort they're coming off at New Mexico last week. Boy, did the Rebels light a fire under their tuchus or what? They go into Colorado State, win by double digits. They're climbing over a very good Boise State team tonight in Boise. And one of the, you know, John, you're never going to like the way you lose. But tonight, for me, this was a very inartful, sloppy, lackluster performance by the Rebels. And I'm not saying they didn't try. I'm not saying there wasn't some energy. Don't get twisted. Folks, don't get twisted here.
Don't get it twisted.
That, too.
Yeah.
It was the lack of execution and adhering to Coach Menzies' game plan and a lack of awareness. And I kept hearing about what an outstanding first half they played. Really? Then why did they trail? Why did the Rebels give up an 11-4 run down the stretch? Yeah, they hit their first two three-pointers out of the gate, then were 1-for-9 from the rest of the second half. They give up a long three to the Indiana transfer, Holtzel, at the end of the half. Then Poizer gets the ball for the final possession, John, and loses complete track of the shot clock. You know, what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Yep, 4-0-7 in the first. From there on out, the Rebels didn't score a single bucket. And so, because I was with you, you know, the first few minutes of this first half, I'm watching, I'm like, wow, they're playing really well.
Yeah.
And then, as you mentioned, coming down the stretch, all of a sudden, Holtzel gets hot. He takes three shots in the first half, all from beyond the arc, and hits them all. And they were some open shots, too.
You know, the first five, 6 minutes of the game, UNLV zone, it was bothering San Diego State. San Diego State was struggling to score. A couple of times, Rebels got into their half-court offense. They get the ball down to Chuck Ndombele, a good-looking left-handed jump hook. I'm going, wow, this kid just gets better every week. They get the ball back, back-to-back possessions, another left-handed jump hook. Next thing you know, the Rebels are up by six. But then reality started, you know, set in, and as the first half wound down, and wah, 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 wah. And here's what bothers me the most. I was on Mitch and Pritch today. I'm on with him every Tuesday. I was singing the praises of Javon Mooring. Now, I like Javon Mooring. I think he's really improved tremendously in the last 6 weeks. And the Rebels need Javon Mooring. Make no mistake. So if you're only able to play, John, 10 minutes in the first half because you've got foul trouble, a couple of fouls, Coach mm-hmm. Menzie was saving him. Why is it that you get two fouls in the first 100 seconds of the second half? Now you got your fourth foul with 18 minutes to go in the first in the game, excuse me, and he committed kind of a silly turnover, and that sort of set the tone for probably the worst half of Rebel basketball you'll see all year against a good San Diego State team. They're okay. They haven't exactly reloaded. They don't have any Skylar Spencers or Winston Shepherds or Jamal Franklin. JVT, I will always believe this was a winnable game tonight.
Mm-hmm. And we saw Mooring revert somewhat back to the Mooring that made people pull their hair out early in the year. And it's still growing. It's still growing pains with him, right? He's still learning the position, learning to play under control. The last three or four games, he'd seemed to have gotten it really under wraps, and then now he kind of has a little slip up here against San Diego State. The Aztecs will do that to you. And you know, you touched on the first half when San Diego State was having trouble with their zone. Shaikh Ndombele was a huge part of that, just altering shots, even with his presence. I believe with his presence, he caused, was it Shrigley, to just travel?
Absolutely.
You know, he was just in the lane, and Shrigley had to pick the ball up and took an extra step. I mean, Ndombele had a lot to do with that. Defensively, he's been really impressive for him.
And there were some bright spots, too. But the Rebels only had four turnovers in the second half, in the first half, but then they had six turnovers in the first 5 minutes of this second half. They held San Diego State's leading scorer, Helmsley, scoreless in the first half and 4 points for the game, but it wasn't enough. This is a caller-driven show. This is your show, Las Vegas. We want to hear from you, so let's get to it. 364-1100. And up first tonight on Rebel Extra to lead us off is the irrepressible Kevin.
Gentlemen, I have a comment about the game, and then I have a question for both of you. You ready?
Ready.
All right.
Hang on, Kevin. Okay, I'm ready now.
That's a good one, Bernie. Hey, the comment I have is, you know, I watch a lot of college basketball, both, you know, just like the both of you. Does it ever amaze you just, I mean, how hard it is? A team like UNLV, who has 12 Division I athletes, and it isn't a knock on the Rebels. It's I guess it's more of a compliment on San Diego State, that they can't even muster, you know, barely 51 points in a college basketball game. Does that just tell you guys? Or,
well, hold
or
that
how,
thought.
How good defensively teams are at this level?
Well, San Diego State, they've got a pedestrian record, as I said, but they do rank 20th in the nation in allowing 62 points per game. So give the Aztecs some credit. But when you've got 49 on your home floor, and it takes a meaningless layup by Uchiha Fabu as Tyron's running out to get over 50. That's not a good look, my friend. I don't care who you're playing against.
I'll also add on to that, too, with Jovan Mooring in foul trouble and not really playing that well. I think that had a lot to do with them struggling to score because they looked a little lost on some possessions.
I totally agree. Yep. Go ahead, Kevin.
All right, and this is a question for both of you, and I'm asking you both to not answer I don't know on this question. You ready?
Okay.
All right.
Hang on, Kevin. Okay, I'm ready.
All right. If UNR, University of Nevada, Reno, loses two games in regular season league play, and they lose to San Diego State by 1 point in triple overtime in the Mountain West Conference Championship game, will they get an out-large berth to the NCAA tournament? And I'm asking you both. You cannot answer, I don't know, to that question. What do you guys
think? You want me to go first, John, or you?
I'll go first. Wait, just to be sure, so then they lose two more games, so they'll have three losses in conference? I'll say no.
I'll say no because Joe Lunardi has him right now as a number 12 seed. This is going to be a one-bid league. As we all know, unfortunately, the Mountain West Conference does not get an automatic bid by virtue of winning the regular season conference championship. And in spite of Nevada's two non-conference wins against Oregon State and Washington, the cumulative RPI of the teams they played is just is not going to stack up, especially when you consider a conference like the ACC, who might get nine teams in. So I'll go with no, Kevin.
All right, you guys called my bluff. All right, you called my bluff. What if they don't lose another game, and then they lose in the Mountain West championship game at, you know, by
okay,
one
here's
point
what's going to happen. You're going to stack them up on a blind resume on the board against other teams, and it depends. And we all know what the committee looks for. They look for bad losses, and they look for good wins. All right.
Hey, that UNR team, not to cut you guys off.
Nevada. You know Nevada lost to Fresno State. That's going to come out as a bad loss in the eyes of the committee. Sorry,
is. What if they go 16-1 or something like that?
They don't have any.
Let's revisit this. Yet. Let's revisit this in late February because it's going to depend a lot. Look, there are a lot of other conferences out there. I mean, would they get in ahead of a St. Mary's or Gonzaga at large? Do you think they would?
No way.
Okay.
No way.
Well, there's a spot taken up, so Nevada better take care. Whoever you are in the Mountain West Conference, you better take care of business in the Mountain West Conference tournament. But, Kevin, my man, that's still a long ways away. So let's hear from you again Saturday after Air Force.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kevin. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. John, thanks for hanging on tonight. You're up next on Rebel Extra.
All right. Thank you.
Go ahead, man.
You're welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hey, you know, I thought San Diego State's defense in the second half was just incredible. I was a little surprised that Baxter doesn't get in and we put Morgan in. Zion Morgan doesn't seem quite ready and able to have the offensive impact. We need more players out there that can score the ball. And I had a second question. I think Marvin Menzies is the best coach we've had here since Tarkanian. I wonder if you think I'm way off base on that.
Stay on line, John. First of all, I second Menzies is outstanding. Mm-hmm. I love the guy. And I've sung his praises all year. We'll get into that deeper. We've got more callers in line. I want you to give your last comment. Give San Diego State credit. JVT, I'm going to let you talk about Troy Baxter. You talked about it off air. And, John, good point. The Rebels need more players that can score the ball, which is why I'm very disappointed in Tyrell Green. Had a big goose egg tonight. They could have used him a lot to make up for Mooring's lack of offensive production because he had four fouls.
And when it comes to Troy Baxter, I mean, Menzies is big on what you show in practice, what you get on the floor, and it seems like the last couple games, Baxter's minutes were going down, and then we see tonight he can't get on the floor. So I think Menzies is seeing something that he's not liking either on the defensive end or the offensive end. I think it would be more defensive because every time he's in there, he's shown offensively he can actually make some stuff happen.
You made some good points, John. You don't win any prizes, but you want to stay in line and say anything else?
No, well, I just enjoy the show, and I'm really excited about Menzies. I really feel he's a great coach, and we've got a lot to be excited mm-hmm. about.
Fair enough, John. Thanks. And, you know, John Von Tobel now, who I'm talking to. As we go on with the rest of the season, one of the things we're going to sort of highlight is not so much the state of this team, but the state of the program. And I think the state of the program, he's on very solid ground.
And when it comes to Zion Morgan, too, I think you saw a lot of him. One, because he's actually a really good defensive player.
I like his energy.
Yep, and two, though, you know, with Mooring in foul trouble and not playing well, they needed another ball handler out there, and I think that's probably why you saw him a lot.
And if there's a loose ball to be found, Zion Morgan's going after him. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We are joined by Mike. Mike, thanks for your patience tonight. You're up next on Rebel Extra.
Let me ask you, I was at the game tonight.
Yes,
but,
sir.
Why do you think the program is on solid ground moving forward? Why do you think that?
Okay, that's a good question. I'll answer you directly. Keep Mike on the line, Bobby. First of all, I think the Rebels have made an excellent hire in Marvin Menzies. He's proven that he could cobble together something from nothing in a short amount of time. I like his staff. I like his coaching style. I like his ability to recruit. There are a lot of big-name players, Mike, that are considering UNLV right now. UNLV is very much on the radar. And if someone would have told me that they were 9-9 heading into tonight's game, given the schedule they had, and somebody would have said that last June, I would have said you can't ask for much more. So I think the program, this is a veteran, 13 years at New Mexico State, who got into the tournament every year. I hope that answers your question, Mike. Do you see it differently?
Not exactly. I'm inclined to agree with you. I have another question for you. I saw something tonight in the first half with Cechne Dembele that could bode well in the future. I see a lot of potential in him.
Yep.
Do you agree?
Totally agree. Mm-hmm. Especially when you consider, thanks for your call, Mike. Especially when you consider where Dembele was 6 weeks ago. He'd played a total of 39 minutes in his college career. Now he's a starter. He's a rim protector. He's a shot blocker, a shot alterer. He's got a nice drop step. He's working on his game. He can play with his back to the basket. He's a youngster that just started playing basketball like, you know, 14 days ago. And look what he's done. He's a contributing player on the Division I level, and he's only a freshman.
And to build on your point of being on solid ground for the program, I mean, Menzies and his staff have a lot. They get a lot of credit for that. And it's not just Mbele. And it's not just Mbele the way his game's developed. I mean, look at the way Tyrell Green came on early in the season. Look how Jovan Mooring's developed up until this point. I mean, I think that also speaks to why this program's on solid ground, because you have good coaches who can teach them up.
And I also think Marvin Menzies can evaluate talent. There's not a doubt in my mind he's looking very objectively at this team right now, and he's going to figure out who's going to be on this roster next year. If you don't get it, you're just not going to be here. You're not going to play, and guys are going to have to start getting it, and I'm not going to call people out by name, but there's a certain structure. There's a certain concept. There's a certain mode of operation that Marvin Menzies is going to, you know, allow this team to operate under. Let me try that again in English. No, let me not try that again in English. Last time I ran a tongue from that
modus
place.
Modus operandi.
You get, yeah, I meant to say that, but then I realized it didn't apply to what I was trying to say. I guess what I'm really trying to say is there's going to be structure here, and Marvin Menzies has a template of what success looks like, and he's developing a system that players are going to have to acclimate themselves to, not some of the time, all the time.
By the way, don't look now, but New Mexico is about to blow another double-digit lead.
Well, they're up by six, John, on the road with 10 to go. We'll come back to that
19,
in
huh?
a minute. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Eddie, welcome to Rebel Extra. What are your thoughts tonight, sir?
Hey, what's up, Boss?
How are you?
I'm from San Diego, and I live here because my daughter's going to UNLV now.
Uh-huh.
And I sit here, and, you know, I watch a lot of sports, and I gamble a lot, and it seems like the Mountain West, like, there's really no team. Like, I watch these other teams, like, in the ACC, and, you know, like, they hit their three. Like, they're wide open, they hit their threes, and it seems like in the Mountain West, like, we don't have any, like, really pure shooters. It seems like there's a problem with recruiting out here. I don't know if it's me or we don't get East Coast players or what the case may be, but it seems like we don't get any like pure good shooters.
Well, it depends on – that's really kind of a broad-based statement, Mike, in the sense that over the years, you know, you go back a ways, Jimmy Fredette sure was, right? Mm-hmm. And if you'd watched Utah State a couple of weeks ago, they were knocking down threes right and left. And, you know, each team has one or two guys. The Mountain West Conference is not the ACC. It's not the Big Ten. It's not the Big 12. It's not the Pac-12. It is essentially a second-tier conference. And by the way, Mike, I don't know how many years you've been following the Mountain West Conference. Frankly speaking, I don't think anybody can deny the fact that the Mountain West Conference is down. It's down from where it used to be. It's never been considered a great conference, even though 3 years ago, they did put five teams in the tournament.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. But, I mean, besides Jimmer, I mean, I really haven't seen just outright somebody just nail threes. Like, you look at when you're sitting here and you're looking at these ESPN games, you see guys from, like, I don't even want to say Duke. I mean, I'll do, like, even Wake Forest. If they're wide open, they hit none but net, and it seems like, and I love the Mountain West. Like I said, I'm 50 years old. I've been following the Mountain West ever since they started.
Okay.
I've been a diehard Aztec fan. It's just, you know, and it seems like Fisher, his recruiting, he's not getting the quality players that he got. Maybe
right. They're down too. They're down too. You don't have a Jamal Franklin and certainly not a Kawhi Leonard or even a Winston Shepard or Skylar Spencer. San Diego State, that's not Fisher's bag. He's a defensive guy. I think over the years, and I'd have to go back and look, but, you know, guys like Anthony Dermott from Boise State, you've had a smattering of good three-point shooters in the Mountain West. I think what you're essentially saying, Mike, though, in fairness, the caliber across the board in the Mountain West is not what you'd see in some of the major conferences. I think that's basically it. All right? All right, thanks, Mike. I appreciate your call.
Well, this Aztec team does have three guys who shoot 38% or better from beyond the arc. So
the Aztecs, they came into this game tonight having shot 406 three-pointers on the season.
They chuck them up.
Tonight they only shot 18, but they made six of them. But they made them when they mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't need to in the second half. They broke down the UNLV defense in the second half without needing to shoot threes. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Steve. Steve, thanks for weighing in tonight on Rebel Extra.
Hi. Say, I just wanted to correct an earlier caller, and you may have already done it. I haven't been able to listen to the recent discussion for the last 6 minutes. But a caller said that he thought Menzies was the best coach we had since Tarkanian. I think that's a huge error. Kruger was an outstanding coach and had the Rebels in the Sweet 16, had them competitive. They were beating San Diego State frequently. And probably the biggest screw-up, which there's been many by the administration, but biggest screw-up they made was that they could have come up with, they should have come up with another $1 million to match Oklahoma. I think Kruger had Oklahoma pretty deep last year in the tournament. And if you look at the attendance recently at the Thomas and Mack, I think that $1 million probably got eaten up pretty quick. So just my opinion.
Steve, I appreciate it. That's a heady call. And no, we didn't correct the caller. It's an opinion. Yeah, an opinion is always an opinion. And look, I don't think anybody would disagree that Lon Kruger's one of the greatest coaches of all time. What's he gotten? Four teams mm-hmm. into the tournament. You know, Florida, Illinois, UNLV, Oklahoma. I'm probably forgetting. He's got it. Look, that goes without saying. The irony to me is you turn the clock back to March of 2011 and how fans here were nonplussed with Lon Kruger because they felt he wasn't getting the McDonald's All-Americans. And
oh,
the
I remember.
Yeah, so...
I remember.
You do.
Listening.
Yeah, I bet you do.
And that's when I was a young NN listener and still tuning into sports radio, and I was one of those fans. And trust me, I would talk to people. I remember that everybody was just ho-hum. He's not going to get us past where we need to go. That was essentially the storyline with Juan. But yeah. Hindsight's 20-20,
and by the way,
right?
I think Oklahoma was going to write as big a check in retrospect as it would have taken to rest yeah. Lon Kruger away because he turned them down a couple of times.
Yeah, and you don't want to get into a and it just bid kept, war.
Well, I don't think you would have, been able to. Real quickly, before we get to caller Bob, just a heads up, John, you had brought up, and so had one of the callers, Troy Baxter, Brian Feldman, who has a show on our sister station, 1340 AM, online on Sunday mornings, was at the postgame presser, and apparently Mark Anderson asked Coach Menzies if Troy Baxter was now out of the rotation. Menzies said no. He had planned on getting Baxter in the game tonight, but Baxter has a bit of a groin issue, and it was not responding during the game. That's why he didn't play at all. And so for now, apparently, that may be the reason why Troy Baxter did not see any action.
All right,
tonight.
Well, then that makes sense because you would think they could have used him, especially on the offensive end. So if it's an injury, that makes more sense why he wouldn't be out there, unless, of course, Menzies is being cryptic and there's something worse going on.
Back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Bob. Bob, thanks for calling. Welcome to Rebel Extra.
Well, hi, guys. I was at the game tonight, and to me, the turning point of the whole game was we had closed the gap to 44-42, and the crowd was going nuts finally. It's about time that the crowd actually got into a game, and they were just loud, 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 and Steve Fisher calls a timeout. And it's a long timeout. It's a full timeout, which actually seemed a little bit longer. And it just seemed like after that, the crowd never got back into it, and the team didn't get back into it. And then they ratcheted up the San Diego State ratcheted up the defense, and we couldn't get a 3-point shot. We go inside and we get it blocked, or we throw it away, or you know. But to me, that was the turning point right there. We were at 44-42.
Bob, stay on the line. Your observations are very good. Obviously, you saw what I saw, but in this sense, Javon Mooring had checked out when he got his fourth foul. Checked back in. Oh, I don't know about the 11.5 minute mark, and there was a steal, and Mooring drove the hole and got a goal. I believe he got a goaltending call and an and one on a layup, and so it made it 42-40, and then UNLV stole the ball, got another fast break, made the layup. You're right. It made it 44-42, and Fisher called timeout. But how do you account for the Rebels' offense from that point, only scoring 8 points the rest of the way? And they literally fell apart. Quick shots for no reason. A poor shot selection, not recognizing San Diego State's help D. one empty offensive possession after another. Was that, do you credit San Diego State for that, or did the Rebels just bog down unexplainably? Inexplicably, excuse me.
It took the steam out. It took the steam out of the Rebels. The Rebels were feeling good about themselves, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, wait a minute, we can't even get a shot here, and now they can't. You know,
well, I think you can draw a line in the sand at that point, that from that point on, San Diego State was not going to be denied. But the only thing I wouldn't characterize it as a turning point, because the Rebels were trailing, and once they lost the lead in the end of the first half, they never got it back again. So, you know, it's a play on words, but you are right. At that point, you had a situation where the team that played, that needed to play like a veteran team on the road, San Diego State did, and the team that needed to prove that New Mexico wasn't a fluke wasn't able to do it. I appreciate your insights tonight, Bob. Thanks for checking in.
You got it. Okay, thanks, Frank.
You know what, John, Bob brings up a good point in the sense that if you were going to write a storyline for tonight's game, it would be simply this. Both teams had a purpose. San Diego State, they now want to show everybody that, quote, we're still the kings of the Mountain West Conference. And I hoped and thought and wanted to believe that UNLV wanted to prove to everybody that New Mexico was no fluke.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the timeout had a lot to do with it, but when a single player goes on a 7-0 run, that really sucks too.
Trey Carroll did have 24 points tonight, but there isn't any one single thing that led to the demise of the Rebels tonight. It was a combination of a lot of things. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to break down some individual performances, talk about some numbers tonight, and JVT, more of your observations, and certainly more calls at 364-1100. Rebels fall tonight to San Diego State 64-51, but we are not done with our show yet, folks, so don't go away. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
We're back on Rebel Extra. ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, John Von Tobel, producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado, taking all your calls at 364-1100. You can text at 69187. Joining the action, preface your text with ESPN. Rebels fall tonight 64-51. John, I don't know that this San Diego State has the same swagger as last teams, but I don't know. Based on some of the questions in the postgame presser, did they intimidate the Rebels tonight?
Yeah, maybe. And from what I can gather, it looks like it might not be a local media member, but apparently Marvin Menzies was asked if his team was fragile. Seemed to take some exception, according to Mike Romano of the Las Vegas Sun. The quote to the question was, "You don't want to create demons, bro. You don't want to talk up demons. I love them, and I think they're good. They're resilient, and they're confident. They'll be ready to go Saturday," they being UNLV. "I don't think anybody's fragile. I think San Diego State is a better team, and they beat us. That's pretty much what happened. Come on, let's call it what it is now. It's San Diego State, pretty good team, top 25 team defensively in the United States, and they proved it."
Well, that's fair, but they're also 10-7 heading into tonight's game. They had the same record as the Rebels, 2-3. And UNLV's two leading scorers, Joan and Poyser, only 8-25 from the floor, not good. The offensive frustrations mounted as the game went on. The Rebels stopped trying to share the ball. And I didn't get a lot of breaks either. There must have been a lid on the basket for UNLV in the second half because they couldn't buy a basket. Overall, they were 20 of 56 for 36%, only 3 of 13 from three-point land for 23% after starting and hitting the first two. And I was bothered, John, as the first half went on, the Rebels were still jacking up too many threes. The first two went in, and it created somewhat of a false sense of security. It's almost like turning the clock back against Cal State Fullerton 2 months ago.
Yeah, I just found out who our person was. I agree with you. And there was a couple shots, like with Uche, right? Uche, I believe, hit his first two.
Yep.
And then there was a couple that he put up that it was like, you know, come on, man, you can't put that in. And there was one that he actually put up, I believe it was Zion Morgan, who was in front of him, where it ended up in a turnover because they ran into each other. He kind of pump faked and went up for it again. I'm with you. You know, you hit your first two. that's great, but you got him within the flow of the offense. Don't start jacking him up and heat checking with 3 minutes to go, you know, or 3 minutes past to the first half.
Surprisingly, the Rebels had four players in double figures tonight. Christian Jones with 10 points, Javon Mooring with 10. The four fouls were a killer, and, of course, he fouled out with 6:21 to go in the game. The Rebels need Javon Mooring. I believe he is now their official floor general. Jalen Poyser with 11 points, Uche Ifebu with 10. Tyrell Green scoreless, and he would have been the guy, had there been an MVP award for non-conference play after 13 games, it would have been him. Tyrell, the Rebels need you.
It turns out, by the way, going back to that quote, it was our friend T.C. Martin over on NBC 920
The
Game.
Oh, T.C., okay.
Yeah, who got the money quote and the reaction out of Marvin Menzies. So I don't know if that's a good for you, T.C., or, but hey, you get some reaction. I guess that's the job, right? You want to get the quote out of the coach.
Some positives. Yeah. I was glad to see Zion Morgan get extended minutes in the first half. He's athletic. He plays hard. If there's a loose ball to be found, he's going to go after it. Again, I want to continue to sing the praises of Chetan Dembele.
Mm-hmm.
Showed some, you know, offensive game on some low post moves tonight, in addition to his defense and his rim protection. Zillin Cheatham could not guard him.
No,
flat out.
Cheatham couldn't guard Chris Jones either, by the way. He had a kind of a rough night on the defensive end. But with Shekna, you know, it kind of ties into their offense falling off in the second half. I thought two things played into that. One, Jovan Mooring's foul trouble. And two, they did a really good job of either doubling Shekna whenever he got the ball in the post
they
in the
did.
Second half, or just denying the ball to him every single time.
And that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, in the first half, they were letting him work solo against whoever, and he started having some success, and they started doubling him, and that's where it kind of fell off.
But I also think you have to recognize the fact that the times Chetna did get open and he worked hard to get open, they didn't look to get him the ball. They didn't get him the ball. In a perfect world, you're going to be able to get Chetna the ball down low in the low post. He's going to go draw contact and get to the line. We're, by the way, this is probably the least known statistic amongst all the UNLV Runner Rebels. Chetna Dembele, only 38% from free throw line this year.
Yeah.
If he can improve on that, as he has in his low post game, the Rebels have themselves a real low post weapon. Helmsley, again, held scoreless. He's San Diego State's leading scorer in the first half, only 4 points for the game. But like you said, Trey Kell had a personal 7-0 run. He finished with 24 points.
Really quiet first half, too.
Yes, yes. Well, it was really kind of a quiet first half for both teams. I mean, extended periods of time where there was no scoring. And you know, by the way, even in the second half, boy, it was just the second half from hell for UNLV. I think at one point they went over 6 minutes without a point. Multiple turnovers in the second half. Early on, Javon Mooring getting his fourth foul. The Rebels just sort of falling apart at the halfway mark, taking quick shots, poor shot selection, again, not recognized in San Diego State. In their help D, too many empty possessions, one after another. And again, it took a Uche Ifebu meaningless layup as time ran out to climb above 50 points at home. You're not going to win many basketball games on any level if you only score 49.
Yeah, and there were even some possessions where they got penetration, but guys couldn't finish around the rim. Clyburn had some bunnies he couldn't finish up. Jalen had some bunnies he couldn't get in there. So, you know, even when they were getting their penetration or getting to the rim, they couldn't finish. And obviously, it spelled trouble for them in the second half when you only score 20 points.
San Diego State did get Malik Pope back tonight after missing 9 games with his knee issue.
Not much of a difference.
I was a little underwhelmed by him. I remember him being more of a dynamic athlete last year. I guess he plays a role. Again, San Diego State, you're not seeing the finished product. Something tells me you're going to be hearing from them. Especially if this score holds at Taco Bell Arena, where New Mexico leads 68-64 with 3:29 to go. It looks like Nick Duncan just had a conniption fit with the referee. I don't know what's going on, but New Mexico. And you can thank the Rebels for lighting a fire under the tuchus of the New Mexico Lobos.
Yeah. And if New Mexico blows this one, obviously Craig Neal, I mean, it looked like he was just getting it all turned around, and now all of a sudden you're imploding at Taco Bell Arena. It'll be interesting this way to see the way this season plays out, though, man. Because I think Nevada is head and shoulders above the conference, but we'll see. They've already lost to Fresno State, so we'll see how they compete with the other
teams.
They
were down by 25 to these very Lobos, so you never know what can happen. Interesting stretch of games coming up for UNLV. We all know that Saturday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, an afternoon game at the Department of Redundancy Department. I said afternoon twice. At the Thomas and Mack. But after that, it gets interesting. You get not an easy road trip. You head into Laramie, Wyoming, where it's always beautiful this time of year, and then up to San Jose State, who's proving they're nobody's pushover this year. They've got some nice wins already. Then the Rebels come home against what will most likely be an angry New Mexico team and a tough Colorado State team. Then the Nevada-Reno Wolfpack, John, that you just mentioned, February 8th, the Rebels will take a trip up to Reno for an 8 p.m. tip. So after Air Force, it doesn't get any easier. You've got five straight tough games, three of them on the road. John, as we wrap it up, what are your thoughts tonight? Final thoughts, final observations regarding tonight's loss against San Diego State?
A disappointing situation when you have a spot where you feel like you could steal one at home against a conference rival and one that might be near the top when the season ends and when all the dust settles. Defensively, thought Menzies did a good job of just coaching on-the-floor stuff, you know, switching up the schemes. The effort was there, you know, not like the Boise State game, but ultimately disappointing when you feel like you can catch one of the top teams.
All right, so you get to play Kreskin here. Hold off for your answer for a second. Do the Rebels respond Saturday? Here's what I mean by that. They've proven to be somewhat resilient after a pretty good butt-kicking at Colorado State. They respond tremendously for a very nice home conference win against Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
And they responded after a tough loss at Utah State at the Pit, where the Lobos were 7-1. So now, getting beaten by a lesser-than-San Diego State team, still a quality team, but not like they've been in the past, not without the swagger, not without the star power. Do you expect the Rebels to rebound Saturday? The Air Force runs that offense where you're going to have to pay attention to your backdoor cuts. And I haven't, you know, at least a couple of weeks ago, they were averaging 76 points a game and in the top one or two or three in the Mountain West Conference in scoring.
Mm-hmm. I think they bounce back. Like you said, there's the track record that shows that they will. And, you know, might be a high-scoring game on Saturday. UNLV's defense has been an issue throughout the year, so maybe the score's about an 88-80 final, something around there.
Oh, man, do you think it'd be that high?
I mean, you never know. UNLV's, like I said, UNLV's defense has shown they'll have issues, especially when it comes to back cuts, things like that. So I think it'll be a high-scoring game.
That part's true. Can the Rebels score 80 points anymore? Look, Javon Mooring has won me over. I was singing his praises today. But it's not, you know, it's not like a lifeguard where you can save one out of every two people that falls in the pool. You got to be a little more consistent than that. He has proven he can play the position. He's gone from a wild shot maker who wants to jack it up the minute he gets off the bus to a kid who's shown he can make good decisions with the basketball. He can run an offense. He can find guys in the pick and roll coming off screens. And he's a pretty good shooter. And I think he's done a pretty nice job. My concern tonight was that he didn't have the awareness to stay on the floor, knowing he had limited minutes in the first half because he had two fouls. So he needed to stay out of foul trouble in the second half. The Rebels needed him. This was a winnable game. And Javon gets two early fouls in the first basically 90 seconds of the second half, and he's got to sit with four fouls. And to me, that's not something the Rebels, at least this version of this team right now in their stage of development, can overcome.
No, of course not. But three out of the last four for Jovan have been pretty solid outings. So let's see what happens on Saturday. I have confidence he'll bounce back as well.
Meatloaf once saying two out of three ain't bad, and now you're singing three out of four ain't bad.
Yeah.
I think he can do better. Final thoughts, John.
Disappointing loss, but you have to look forward to Saturday because that's a very winnable game against a conference opponent who will probably finish around the same area you will in the hierarchy of the Mountain West.
All right. John, good job, buddy, as always. And we'll see you Saturday. That's going to do it for tonight's edition of Rebel Extra. On behalf of my broadcast team, producer extraordinaire, Bobby Machado, and JVT, John Von Tobel, I'm Bernie Fratto, bidding you good night. Next up for the Runner Rebel, Saturday, a date with the Air Force Falcons at the Thomas & Mack, 3 o'clock. Show up early, stay for the whole game, folks. The Rebels need your support. So we'll see you then. In the meantime, tonight's final score, San Diego State Aztecs, 64. UNLV Runner Rebels, 51. Good night, folks. Drive safely. Thanks for listening, and go Rebels.